This is a summary of It's the Manager by bestbookbriefings.com. It's the Manager. Gallup finds that the quality of managers and team leaders is the single biggest factor in your organization's long-term success. By Jim Clifton and Jim Harter, Maximizing People's Potential. Not only does maximizing people's potential have a positive impact on the company, but on the nation as well. To achieve this, people should lead a great life, which is attained by doing a great job. A great job is not simply a full-time job one does for an organization with more than 30 hours a week against a paycheck. Rather, it is one that makes employees engaged and fulfilled. That is, they feel they are growing and developing in the workplace. However, it seems like very few people are engaged. Research indicates that only 6% of the employees are engaged. Why? Because of the current managerial practice, managers that are CEOs and CHROs suffice to adding perks and benefit packages, but do not strive to maximize the potential of every team member. What exactly should CEOs and CHROs change? Because workforce demands have changed, they should transform old cultures to new ones through the following 6 practices. 1. They do not only work for pay, but they also need a purpose. 2. They do not want bosses, rather, they need coaches. 3. They do not want annual reviews, rather, they need ongoing conversations. 4. They do not want a manager who focuses on their shortcomings. 5. They do not go after job satisfaction, but development. 6. Managers should value employees' strengths and contribution and give them a chance to do what they excel at. 5 onboarding questions every manager must answer to make the process successful. After hiring a candidate, a manager should introduce the basic elements that set the scene for his or her career, not only for the coming year, but also for the coming decades. 1. What is the organization's purpose and shared beliefs? The answer revolves around the organization's culture. 2. What makes me productive? The answer revolves around the employee's strengths that make him or her explore their potential and fully utilize it. 3. What is expected of me? The answer revolves around the employee's role and the requirements of his or her job. 4. Do my colleagues and superiors support me? The answer revolves around the employee's building partnerships and relationship maps within the organization. 5. Can I learn and grow? The answer revolves around the new employees seeing their posts as opportunities to develop and achieve fulfillment. How can managers build a culture that is based on strengths? Attaining a culture that is based on strengths is a hard task, for it is not enough to know every person's unique talents. To integrate these talents into the organization's daily practices, managers should conduct long conversations and do a lot of thinking. But how can organizations implant a strength-based culture that can be regarded as part of its foundation? 1. CEO leaders have to share their strengths and show employees how they utilize them. 2. Demand that every employee know his strength. 3. Construct a network of strengths coaches inside the organization. These should give managers tools and ideas about strengths. 4. Make managers strengths coaches who can first understand their own strengths and how to use them. 5. Change learning programs by auditing the entire employee lifecycle, as hiring, onboarding, etc., and identifying any practices or policies that wear them down. What should a manager expect from employees? In order that a strength-based methodology might succeed, managers need to know the behaviors they expect from every employee. There are 7 necessary behaviors for success in any job. Building trust and sharing ideas. Helping others become more effective. Leading change by setting goals. Inspiring others by confidence, challenging tasks, and recognition. Gathering information and making important decisions. Sharing information regularly. Creating accountability by holding oneself and one's team responsible for performance. Not everyone will meet the above criteria the same way due to variation in strengths. Given the ways of attracting great calibers and highly talented employees, it is important to point out the effective plans to retain these employees. These plans revolve around the fact that biases result in poor decisions about employee advancement and succession. On the other hand, when these decisions are correctly made, they result in a high success rate for the organization. To make good succession plans, managers should take the following steps. 1. Investigate objective performance measures over a good amount of time, which could be years. 2. Evaluate what is expected from a new employee and how the expectation evolves. 3. make meticulous assessments which guide to the knowledge of strengths. 4. Tailor leadership programs which aim at creating self-awareness targeted to the special expectations of each job. Performance ratings, the bias. Ratings are not the problem. In fact, they were intended to reward good employees and high performers. The issue is that they result in a waste of time and a lot of debates over bonuses and promotions. Additionally, they are always associated with biases. We have already made it a point that bias results in wrong decisions. The manager should avoid the following rating biases when rating employees. Personal bias: when a manager likes an employee, he will see his good traits only. Halo effect: some managers are likely to positively rate an employee's substandard aspects of performance if the latter does well in a certain area. The middle default: managers do not exert an effort to know who performs best or worst, thus sticking to the mediocre performance and counting it satisfying. Leniency and strictness biases: some managers are inclined to give extreme ratings to employees. They are either lenient, that is, they give everybody a satisfactory rating, or strict, that is, they criticize employees overly. Spillover effect: this is like the halo effect, as managers are more inclined to favorably judge employees who were once good performers. How to improve performance metrics. This is achieved in two ways. 1. Collecting information from several sources, e.g., customers and peers. 2. Conducting as many conversations as possible with the employee. Employee engagement. A significant research discovery shows that it is the manager or team leader that accounts alone for 70% of the change in the team's engagement. In fact, great managers not only know their team's strengths but also develop the members and help them enhance their performance. A research conducted on the engagement levels of 3 trillion teams show that teams with less than 10 members had the highest, as well as lowest engagement levels. In fact, teams with a small number of members can more easily be led in one direction or the other. That is because managers have the chance of influencing such small teams, whether in a good or bad way. Many factors, however, account for the stagnant engagement or disengagement of team members. One of these factors is the way organizations measure and report employee engagement data. A company might boast that its employees are engaged, while in reality only a few people are engaged. This is due to conducting annual employee satisfaction surveys that measure several workplace dimensions that often have a little to do with business objectives and are hard to act on. These surveys supposedly measure unique drivers of engagement. Yet, they ignore the scientific fact that most important engagement factors, e.g., clear expectations, rewards, and development, are consistently significant to all jobs and organizations. How can managers create a culture of high development? High development cultures are characterized by being initiated by the CEO and board, educating the managers on new ways of management, practicing company-wide communication, making managers accountable. In order to nurture great managers, researchers recommend that the following guidelines be applied: monitoring all managers' learning and development programs to ensure their alignment with the strength-based culture, teach managers the fundamentals of strengths, use the curricula that transform managers from bosses to coaches, use e-learning that enhance whatever is taught in the classroom, make executive conduct strength-based conversations once a week with each manager or team leader. Managing diversity. Diversity groups are expanding fast. Among these is race, age, gender, disability, and so on. As a manager, you should know how to address them all. In fact, the topic of diversity turns out to be on top of managers' or leaders' priorities. If a manager attempts to build a culture of diversity and inclusion, he should think about how employees respond to these statements. At work, they treat me respectfully. My employer builds each employee's strengths. I am sure my employer would do the right thing if I raise a concern about ethics and integrity. Noteworthy is that managers should know the difference between diversity and inclusion. While diversity is the distribution of people who work in the organization, inclusion means how managers and leaders involve and treat such employees. The new office. Modern employees need more autonomy. Researchers indicate that the effectiveness of remote working depends on the role. It works better for those who enjoy special knowledge or have a particular educational background, which helps them complete certain tasks. To maximize remote working, that is to ensure employees' engagement, Organizations need talented managers who practice the above-mentioned five coaching conversations. These managers need to have a methodology for dealing with three key performance outcomes, namely, clear expectations, ongoing coaching, and accountability. Artificial intelligence has arrived. Automation in the form of artificial intelligence is spreading fast. It is already affecting call center employees, tellers, and servers. People are afraid of its future outcomes, believing that it would widen the gap between the rich and the poor and rob their jobs. Yet, researchers argue that jobs that require social skills, creativity, or higher education are less likely to be automated. Counselors, therapists, and police officers will not be filled by machines. To prepare the workplace for this change, managers should prepare it in the following ways. Investing in the people, by developing people and nurturing creativity. Communicating future opportunities, if the worst comes to the worst, roles will change and there will be a lot of layoffs. In effect, managers need to be transparent about where their organizations are headed and the skills they require to win in the future. To conclude, for an organization to thrive, it needs great managers. If all teams in your company have great managers, that are great coaches, who care for development and growth, then the company becomes successfully engineered with unlimited potential. Whether you prefer to read or listen, we have something for you. Visit bestbookbriefings.com now for more summaries.